Amen. Well, I think we got a word today that's going to really launch us in some great ways in our life. Would you agree with me on that? Amen. How many would like for something to speak to you today that would literally give you a course that could change your life? I think we're all vested and interested in that because that's what the word of the Lord does. It comes as a light. It comes as a lamp to guide us and direct us. And this morning, the word, I think, will release that in your spirit. If you'll open to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start there this morning. And just dive in with this with me and let it speak to your heart. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Lift your hands to the Lord with me. Say, Lord, open my ears that I may hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. I blank out the distractions of the world, and I open my spirit to hear what saith the Lord this morning. Amen. In Jesus' name. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. One of the things that we've really pressed into the last, actually, few years is this principle of becoming and being formed into the image of Christ. And it requires a great deal of positioning to receive this transformation, because it doesn't come to us passively or because we simply know that it says that it comes to us, but it requires of us our participation in the process. How many would like to be in something that didn't require your participation? No, it's important that we let our participation be involved, because the scripture tells us that God creates us, that through Christ, there's a new creation in the Lord. And everybody say, Christ is a new creation. But he also says that, behold, now we have become that new creation unto the Lord. It's pretty encouraging to think about this when we realize how God is so intimately involved with us that he wants to create something in us special. He calls us his own special people. He calls us a unique people. In fact, he calls us a strange people. And we've all learned to accept that, haven't we? There's something strange about following an unseen God that doesn't come and give us a natural path to follow, but he requires this thing called faith in order to make it work. Faith does what for the Lord? Pleases God. Everybody say, faith pleases the Lord. Amen? And I want to talk to you this morning about releasing the kingdom of God through your mouth. Everybody touch your mouth. I'm declaring that by the time you leave this morning, that you'll have a new mouth. Now, don't get too wise and that are married and say, I'm sure glad my partner's getting a new mouth, because it's going to be for all of us that God give us a new mouth this morning, because there's something that the Lord wants to remind us of in the power of the tongue. That in your mouth, you hold the keys to life and death. What you speak is never to be looked upon from a casual position, but to look upon it with the sincerity of that God wants to speak his truth through your mouth. Amen? So in Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're going to begin this morning. And as we look at that, I just want to tell you a little bit about Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, of course, is a great exhortation of unity. It's the way it begins, talking about how that in these last days, or in the days of the kingdom, which is the days that we're in, there'll be one body, there'll be one spirit, there'll be one faith, there'll be one baptism, there'll be one God and one Father above all, and through all and in you all. So he says that this is accomplished because God gave back to man a gift. And the gift that he gave us was apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And we're not going to study that this morning, but we're all pretty familiar with the role of the what we call the apostolic ministry or the apostolic company, because God has given to us these gifts in order to equip us for the work of the ministry. And let's take that up there in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Everybody say a perfect man. It's kind of neat to think that God has perfection in mind for us. The challenge of perfection is the realization of how far away we are from it, because we live in the flesh, right? We look at our flesh, and our flesh never measures up to the perfection of who he is. That's okay, because God is patient with his process. The Lord is patient in how he creates you to be this perfect representation of who he is. The whole purpose of Christian becoming a Christian, now that you've been saved, now that you've been born again, is to now be finished into the perfection of who he is, to perfectly represent him upon the earth. You're not only representing him in the gifts that God gives you, but you're representing him from the attitude of your heart and through the renewal of your mind. So everything that is seen in you is who he is. Amen. So it makes you realize that you're not representing yourself in the world. You don't go out and you represent who you are. You're representing him. He called you, and he also sent you. It kind of takes us into a different realm when we realize that we're responsible to be a good representation of the one who sent us. So that means that we bring everything under control so that what we present is a perfect image of him. It means that I also forfeit my right to choose my own pathway. I forfeit my right to choose my own thoughts, and I forfeit the right to choose my own speech, because now I'm representing someone besides myself. So when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling all funky and you have morning breath, right? You don't get up feeling bad, feeling discouraged, and take that with you into the world, because that's not representing him, is it? So I have to be willing to say, I'm not going to let this old man be the man that dictates what I represent. But I'm going to let that perfect man who comes from heaven, that man who descends from above, I'm going to let that man be represented in me. And part of the representation is not only in the position you take, but it's in the word that you speak. Because the word that you speak then represents the word of the Lord. Amen? I love this stuff. I can't help it. We come to the unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. What's the mark of a child? He's going to define it right here. Tossed to and fro. How many have ever felt like a rag doll? Tossed to and fro. He said, you're not going to be that way anymore. No more children, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. Did you know that the enemy has planted a seed of deception in order to stumble you and lead you astray from the truth? Because any other gospel that you hear other than the gospel that the Lord gave us through his cross is a gospel that leads you astray into deception. Amen? That's why Paul said that he walked the straight path. That I've determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, I'm not going to be distracted by all this peripheral language coming in, but I'm going to be focused upon the gold. And the goal is the same goal that Christ had, that he went to the cross in order to enter into the kingdom. And so we follow Christ right through the cross. Amen? We go right through the pain that it takes to become transformed. You know, it's painful to be transformed from the image that you've been in into the image that you're becoming. Amen? It hurts to go through this process because all this old man that you maybe cling to is going to cease to exist. The rights that this old man claimed, that this old man insisted upon, are no longer the rights that we choose. Now the right we choose is to do the will of one who called us. So it requires sometimes this great process of straining us through this in order to get to become that which we're to be. How many like that? Amen? Okay, let's get on. But verse 15, I've just detoured a little bit there. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So he said, how are you going to get to this point of growing up into this headship of Christ? By speaking the truth in love. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. See, everything that we hear, there's three things. Everything we hear, say it, hear, believe, and speak. Everything we hear, we believe, and speak has one purpose, to connect us to the headship of Christ. Amen? To bring us to this place, it says we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. The greatest challenge we face is staying connected. Because if we stay connected to the headship, then everything will flow from that in purity. But if we ever seek connection apart from the headship, then everything begins to be this gray area. It begins to be deception and destruction. It's only in the connection to the headship of Christ that we begin to become transformed into his image. You can't find it any other way. The human nature always seeks the hard way when there is a simple way to achieve. That's to believe, and that's to hear, that's to believe, and that's to speak. If you do those things, that's the pathway of salvation. The scripture says that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, then that will result in his salvation. But that's not just an initial born-again experience that he's talking about, but it's the ongoing process of salvation that Paul speaks about when he says, now I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. So it's not good enough or adequate enough to say, well, I believed then, but what do you believe now? Oh, I spoke it then, but what are you speaking now? Because see, it's not what's in your heart alone that reveals your need. It's also what you're speaking reveals your need. Because it's out of the heart the mouth will speak. And so God wants to transform the heart so that he can release the mouth to release the kingdom upon the earth. That's the purpose of prophecy, isn't it? Prophecy is not only to predict the future, but prophecy is to define the present and establish the now so that we can prepare for that which is to come. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God, every word that comes forth from the mouth of God, not one word will fall vain, but every word shall come to establish and to create. Amen. Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. It said, in the beginning was the Word. and the Word dwelt among us, and the Word became flesh. Those that received that Word, God gave them the right. God gave them the access to become the children of God. So Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. He came to give the Word. And that Word that we receive begins the process of manifesting His heart to the world and revealing who He is. Because we're being conformed to its image. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It said, by the word of God, He framed the worlds and created the heavens and the earth. That same word that God spoke in the beginning, there was God, and He spoke a word. That same word the Lord is speaking to us in this hour to create this new kingdom upon the earth, this new people, this new generation, these people that aren't stained with the clothes of Babylon. They're not tainted with the religiosity that so often chokes out the very life of Christ, but they've been set free by the liberty of the word of the Lord that comes. This word that sometimes even comes as a sharp two-edged sword, and it divides the very joint and the very marrow and the very intents of our heart. This word that comes that sometimes shakes us down to where there's nothing left to shake, because it's out of that word that sometimes seems to be destruction comes forth the true life that God wants to give us. Because not only does the word come to confront that which is not right, but the word comes at the same time to create that which is to be. Amen. So we believe. Amen. We receive. We receive, then we believe, and then we speak. Jesus said in John 6:63, He said, the words that I speak to you our spirit in life. To quote it, he says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. This Jesus that becomes the true bread that comes down from heaven. Amen. This Jesus that says, come on, take and eat. This is my body. Drink, this is my blood. Receive, this is my word. It says in the scripture that when we receive the word of God and we walk in the word of God, we become pleasing unto the Lord. And it's not the word that we take in the natural that we apply from the scripture that we turn it into some religious dogma that becomes bondage. It's not that word. It's the word of life that God gives us. This is what I seek and I hunger for. Is this true life that comes down from the Lord. Amen? You know, Matthew 10:32 says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. See, our salvation and the progression of that salvation is created in what's in our heart and what's in our mouth. What does your future hold for you? I'll tell you what your future holds. It's what's in your heart and what's in your mouth. Sometimes we think that people hold our future or the circumstances hold our future. Well, they could if we submit to that. If you submit to the opinions of people, you'll always be bound by their opinion. If you submit to the approval or the disapproval of man, you'll always be bound by approval or disapproval. I would have quit a long time ago if I had been listening to those that disapprove. But also, I stay because of those that encourage me, but I can't stay for either one of those reasons. Man shall not live by bread alone or by the approval or the disapproval of man, but man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what we live by. That word is our strength. That word is our foundation. That word is our direction. That word is our freedom and our liberty. That word is our approval that we need. So if you're waiting for someone to approve you, you may be waiting a long time. But guess what? If you'll hear what he has to say, this is the word of the Lord to my life. That word will transform your life. Amen? It says in Romans 10:9, for with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. See, everything that exists, everything from the foundation of the world, you see, in the capitalization of God's word, everything is there already. Did you know that everything that you need today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next month, and the next year, and everything, in fact, that you need throughout eternity has already been spoken into existence for you?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's nothing lacking in what God has given. Everything that we need has already been given to us through Jesus Christ. It's just a matter of us opening our heart to receive it and believe it and speak it and confirm it. I'm simply to be a vessel of confirmation to that which has already been spoken. Nothing that I have originates within me, but everything that I have comes by the Spirit and by the Word. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So I don't have to struggle through this mire of flesh in order to try to find a spiritual God. I simply begin to believe, receive, believe, and speak that which he's already spoken. And then I become that which he's declared for me to be. That's the perfection that he's seeking. God gave all these gifts, all these ministries, all this anointing he gives to us for one purpose, to bring us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen? To where not only now do we know in part and see in part, but in that hour when we come into the Spirit, we will know in fullness and we will see in fullness and we will understand. And these are those that says, now you have this mind that was in Christ. It's in you now as well. Hallelujah. I love this. So everything that God spoke is just a potential until we too come into agreement and speak it into existence. Did you hear that? Everything is potential until you agree with it and speak it into existence for you. That's why the devil works overtime getting you to speak the wrong things. Amen? That's why both good and evil can come out of the same mouth. God help us in that. Wow. See, the level of victory or defeat you walk in depends entirely upon what you believe, according to what you've received, and according to what you speak. Did you know that in Christ there is no such thing as the word defeat? There's no defeat. There's no saying such thing as defeat in Christ. Thanks be to God who's caused us to be triumphant through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We were not given for destruction, but we were given for victory. We weren't given to lose. We were given to win. We were not given to fall short. We were given to overcome. That's what God has given us. So the level that we receive of that victory or of that defeat is entirely upon the things that we voice, because death and life, Proverbs 18:2, are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Did you know that all of us are eating right now the fruit of our lips? You're eating the fruit of your lips. You don't realize how much of this creation that God put in your hands. You don't realize that the Lord even calls you something divine. He calls you a holy nation. He calls you a righteous people. When the Lord looks at you, he looks at you with an eye that he's looking at a partner. He doesn't see you as a subservient servant. He sees you as a friend. He sees you as a brother that he redeemed and he brought out of the pit and sat along beside him. In fact, even took him and seated him in heavenly places with him. That's who God sees you as. So when the Lord hears your mouth, he respects and honors the word that you speak. You have the power of life and death in the words that you speak. I mean, you've been lifted up out of this human quagmire of destruction. You've been lifted up to a high place of spirit. As long as you've come to this place that you say, I'm connected to the headship of Christ, and the words that are coming out of his mouth, they are spirit and they are life. When you realize that, then you realize the power that's in each one of you, that's stored up in your spirit, and the ability that God gave you to create that what he wants to create upon the earth. Each one of you have the responsibility to let the little part that you play, little or big part, be a part that you're responsible for, the little area that you have, to speak the truth to it so it'll grow up in Christ. It says, speaking the truth together in love. You release something in the spirit. Amen. Studying this message caused a lot of repentance on my part. Because I begin, man, I've been speaking some wrong things. Wow. Amen. Until we voice what's in us, we'll never know what victory we could have. There's a victory that's set before you that's so incredible. If you'll just let your mouth be his mouth. Amen. I like it better all the time. Do you know it's going to get better? It really is. How many are glad it's getting better? See, the perfection in Christ that we have is related to the speech that we have. The theme of perfection that I just talked about in Ephesians 4 is followed so closely by speech. You look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. He says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. And I want to challenge you. I have a feeling that some of us may be filthy talkers. I want you to make a pledge this morning. I'm going to clean my mouth up and quit being a filthy talker. Just because the world's using that word and this word and every other four-letter word in the book doesn't mean you should do it. You shouldn't do it because it's not reflective of who he is. Clean up your mouth. Clean up your mouth. Did you hear me? Yeah. Say it again. Clean up your mouth. Don't be a filthy talker because you bring reproach to the name of Christ. Amen. And that goes for me too. Sometimes I've been playing golf and I have some filthy words in my mind. I got to clean that up. Heart, clean up your mind, because guess what? If you keep it in your mind long enough, it'll come out of your mouth. And then it comes out twice, it's okay. Three times you've confirmed it. Now I can just do it the rest of my life. Clean up your mouth. Quit being a filthy talker. Now I might not be talking to anyone here but me. I don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. That's just a little pop of exhortation. But it came from Paul. Okay. Where was I? Clean up your mouth. You don't want me to tell you that again, do you? Three times I confirmed it, so now you got it. Well, that's just the way everybody talks. It's not the way we're supposed to talk. Amen. We're not part of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Well, I got to talk that way to relate to the world. No, you don't. Just talk normal. Talking that way is a sign of ignorance anyway. Okay. Here we go. What scripture was that? Oh, 5:4. Neither foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. It's amazing how the mouth becomes the directive of our life. how it determines everything. The deadliness of speaking negatively is not only a temporal thing, but it can cause an eternal situation that you cannot reverse. Did you know a murmurer will never come into a real ministry? Someone that murmurs and complains. A murmur is like giving someone a shovel and they just start digging. Murmur, 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 murmur. And the more they murmur, the deeper the hole gets. Until, you know what happens when you dig a deep hole? You're going to fall in it eventually. See, negative speech determines what sort of spirit you have and what will become of you in your future. Amen. It's not just a temporary manifestation unrelated to your spiritual state, but because it's tied directly to who you are. So when we become negative, we become complainers and murmurers. When we become those that criticize others in the body of Christ, we cut ourselves off from the headship of Christ. We stop the flow of the anointing to our life. Because when you begin to criticize, you begin to frame your world by the words that you're speaking. And pretty soon, you may not have fully believed it when you started speaking it, but it's not long until you're fully convinced the words you're speaking are truth and everyone else is a liar. Because it's your own conclusion, you drew your own boundary, and you made your own decision, and so you declared it, and pretty soon it becomes your reality. Because it's your perception. The words you speak frame the world that you walk in. And they become either a pathway that leads to fulfillment or a pathway of destruction. They either bring us closer into Him or they separate us from Him. Because the Lord cannot dwell with both light and darkness at the same time. And so if there's darkness coming out of your mouth, that darkness is a pit that you cannot climb out of until you reverse that course and begin to speak the things of the Lord. And then He'll deliver you from the midst of your peril. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm gonna sound like King James. He will deliver you from the mouth of the lion, the snare of the fowler. And He will set your feet upon a solid rock. Amen. It's like it's like a grievance meeting. How many you know what a grievance meeting is? Well, I'm gonna get together and I'm gonna tell you all your faults. And you're going to tell me all my faults so we can come to a mutual agreement. It's like a marital discussion. How many know that most grievance meetings and marital discussions never solve anything? They only tend to reinforce our negative feelings towards the other person. Anytime we give ourselves the opportunity to voice negatives, we're locking something in the spirit that puts us in bondage. You should never have a meeting with someone and say, brother, I just want to meet with you and I just want to tell you all your faults so we can get the air clear. That doesn't clear the air. It only muddies the water. Well, honey, I think we need to have a little talk. You haven't been doing this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And then the other one turns around. Well, okay, I haven't been doing that. Let me tell you what you haven't been doing. Pretty soon your voice begins to set in motion evil and destruction. God didn't give you a mouth to critique someone else. He gave you a mouth to bring edification to the body of Christ and to lift up your brother and set him on a high place, a strong place, a place to declare who he is, not what he isn't. Hallelujah. Do I have to say it any more clear than that? No. Okay.
Well, I don't believe that. I believe we ought to get together and air the differences.
Go ahead. Don't include me in the meeting. I got enough problems with myself without having you to tell me what's wrong with me. I don't really reinforce the negative by your declaration.
well, Pastor, I think we ought to have a little meeting and we need to talk about some of the things you've been doing in the church.
No, thank you. How many of you have I called into the office? Hey, Joe Blow, come on in my office. I need to tell you some stuff about you. I don't know if there's anyone here I've ever done that to. If I have, I repent, okay? And probably if the ones I did, they're not here, right? Okay, they're long gone by now. Who wants a pastor that tells them everything that's wrong? No. You want the preacher to get up and edify you, declare unto you what you can become, what you can do, how you can be what God calls you to be. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. See, of the seven things that God hates, this is the edifying part of the message, right?
God hates you. God's going to kill you. He's going to throw you into the lake of fire. Fire, brimstone, condemnation.
No, that's not the God we're talking about this morning. He don't have to throw you anywhere. You throw yourself with the words that you speak. Amen. He's all the time trying to save you from the place you wound up in because you got there by yourself. Hallelujah. God's hand's not short that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your sin has separated you from your God. And what's the sin? It's the word that you spoke out of your mouth. See, sometimes I have bad feelings, bad thoughts. Sometimes I even think bad things about you, but I'm not sinned until I speak it. Because if I just let God deal with it in my heart and not speak it, then I'm not condemned by the words that I speak.
Well, I just got to air my grievances.
Forget about it. Hold it in your spirit because probably God's doing something in you. Amen? Wow. You know, people that air grievances, they're going to be airing the same grievances 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. In fact, on their way to glory, they'll be still speaking it, proving their point. I used to know someone that way. They'd come, precious person in the Lord, really, but you never could get the last word in. No matter what they said, they had to prove what they wanted to speak. Till finally it exhausted you to the point you just agreed with them. Okay. I mean, two opposite points, but then by the time they would never leave until you agreed with their point, so you finally just gave in and agreed with it. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many have ever been there, done that? Okay. Don't tell me that I'm do that to you, okay? I reject that in the name of the Lord. Wow. Whew, what did I say? Proverbs, right? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, there are seven, but are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Wow. Well, yeah. Does God hate that? Yes, he does. Amen. He goes on to say in verse 21, take the things that God has told you and bind them around your neck, around your heart, and tie them around your neck. Amen. This is the word that we live by. So of the seven things that God hates, three of them have to do with your speech, a lying tongue, false witness, and sowing discord. But let's talk about the power of positive speaking. It exceeds the so-called power of positive thinking. Because you can think all day long. But until you learn to speak it, you never enacted the power to create it. Amen? The power of life and death is in your tongue. So don't just think about it. Believe in your heart, but speak it with your mouth, and it'll result in your salvation. Because when you begin to become positive speakers, you're literally coming into agreement with the God of creation. And we begin to literally complete the things that God wants to complete, the words that come out of our mouth. We begin to complete it. Amen? Everybody say, I'm a declarer of the word of the Lord. And God would speak to the prophets. He would always speak. And then they would say, thus saith the Lord. Now, there might not be any evidence that what they were saying was actually happening. And sometimes it took days. Sometimes it took weeks. Sometimes it took months. Sometimes it took generations. Sometimes it took centuries. Sometimes it took millennium. But every word that was spoken, that God spoke to the mouth of the prophets, is either come to pass or it is coming to pass upon the earth. So when God speaks to you, don't be afraid to speak and to speak to the creation. And you might not see it in the order that you would want it to be seen, but it will come to pass. Not one word that comes forth out of the mouth of God. And it's talking about that word coming forth out of your mouth. As you've joined with him in speaking the word, not one word shall fall to the ground. Not one word shall be lost, but every word that God speaks will come forth to fruition. Amen? And we all say, hopefully sooner than later, right? But even if it's later, even if you never even see it while you're on this earth, you'll still be a part of those people that talks about in Hebrews 11. They died in the faith, but yet there remains there for a promise to come forth because of the seed that they sowed. The seed of God that was in them will never die, but it'll live forever. Hallelujah. When you speak the word of the Lord, when you speak the word, it comes forth out of you to bring blessing, to bring joy, to bring righteousness. It keeps you on the pathway that God wants you to walk in. And I'm not going to spend much more time, but James chapter 3, you get a chance to go back and read that. It's so wonderful because it talks about how the tongue is like a little member that can boast great things, and how a little fire, just a little fire. How many know there's a reason when you drive through a forest and it's a drought, they say, don't smoke. We were in Reynosa, New Mexico, I believe last year, and the drought was so bad, the fire was so bad, we couldn't even barbecue outside. I thought that was sinful. We couldn't barbecue outside because they want one little spark of the coal could go forth and start a massive forest fire that could destroy many homes and forests and even kill people. Just one little bitty spark from a coal, couldn't even barbecue outside. It's the same thing with our tongue. Our tongue has the power to create a fire that destroys, or our tongue has the power to create creation and release. It's our choice. What do you speak? What do you receive? What do you believe? What will you speak? That's what will happen in your life. Amen. Are you going to let bitterness come out of you that springs up and defiles many like a forest fire? Are you going to let out of your mouth come forth the blessing of God that releases and encourages and strengthens everyone that it hears? Amen. God, give us that courage to speak the way you call us to speak. It keeps us on the pathway of the Lord. So it says in verse 8, chapter 3 of James, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. And with it, we bless God and the Father. And at the same time, we curse men who've been made in the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth will proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but that wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion, and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. Lord, help us this morning. Amen. Let's do like Psalms 141. Just lift your hands with me and just repeat this to me, with me. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Say it again. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Amen. Lord, help us to not sin against the Lord, or sin against our brothers, our sisters, or defile. Lord, help us not to defile the very thing that God is trying to do in our life. Let our mouth be pure. Let there be no salt and purity together. Let there be no mixture coming forth out of us. But Lord, give us a mouth that blesses and releases and creates and determines not only the course that we walk in, but sets the course for many others. Let us be a church, Lord, that becomes like a trumpet that will speak to the air and speak to the earth and speak to our brethren. Let it be a word that comes to create the thing that God wants to create upon the earth. Let it be so, Lord, in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.